8686.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast. I trust also you will be blessed by the message.
How not to build. They built the Tower of Babel with slime and pitch, with slime, untempered mortar. And it couldn't stand God's test. When God confronted it, it was over. He stopped it. It was not something that he authorized. And so you and I, in order to build his house, a place for him to dwell, each of us as lively stones must find our place. You don't want to be a stone that everybody's, every time they come in, they're stumbling over you. Because you are out of place. You understand what I mean? There's a place in the spirit. How many of we have to guard our attitudes? We have to guard, amen, our thinking processes. Okay, let's go back to the stones. So we talked about the great stones. Our next stone, and I might have touched on it already, are what we call the costly stones. In the building of Solomon's temple, and you can read the story of the building, you'll find all these different names or titles or types of stones. Costly stones. Now, we looked at how everybody's not a great stone. You may be great and you are called to greatness in your domain. But as far as God's structure of the church, you may not be called to be the leader of a church or a leader in the church, but you have a place in the church. And it's a very significant and important place. There are those that are earmarked and carved out by God to be great stones. Doesn't make them any better. You're going to see this. Doesn't make them any better than any other stone. It's just that their responsibility is greater. Their life is given over to God more. God has required and demanded more of their life. Great stones, they carry more of the responsibility. They carry the weight. See, some of us were stones, but if you got up under the stone, under the weight of a great stone, you couldn't handle it because you're not called to be that. That doesn't lessen you, nor your reward, nor your stature in God. Stop comparing yourself to anybody else. Stay in your lane. Keep your eyes on your lane. You know, if you're running a race, you can't be looking around at the other people running. You better keep your eyes on your lane lest you be disqualified. You start looking around, before you know it, the tortoise then overtook you. You done got out of your lane and you disqualified. You dropped the baton. You trip. Keep your eyes on your lane. Be like the horse with the little blinders. Blinders didn't mean they were in front. They were just on the side, so they can't see anything on the side. All they can see is straight ahead. All right, so the next are, number two, the costly stones. These are expensive stones. They are of high price and great value. Somebody, I see somebody right now, I'm gonna call these stones. Well, what determines a costly stone? It involves great loss or sacrifice. There are some in the church that have suffered great loss because they decided to follow Jesus. Some homes were wrecked. People persecuted, abused, misused, criticized, talked about. You know, when a Jew back in Jesus' time was converted, their family knew him no more. They'd have no dealings with him. They'd spit on him. If they saw him coming down on a sidewalk, they'd go to the other side of the street. This is family. That's what it cost them to be part of the way. But the costly stones that are part of the stones that build God's house are the stones whose lives involved great loss or sacrifice. For some of us, it was easy. And that's no, you know, no slight on you. But for some here, and you know who you are, you suffered great loss. People don't know unless they hear your testimony what it cost you when you became a child of God, what you lost, what you sacrificed. These are what we call the costly stones. Would you give me Philippians chapter 3? Let's take a look at a testimony of one. And now, let me say this. You're not limited to just being one of the stones. You can have the attributes of a number of these stones. And you're like, because we're living stones. Philippians 3 verse 7, Paul's testimony, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Whatever he had gained, he said, I had to count it loss. Well, let me give you a little background. Paul was part of the Sanhedrin. Paul had learned or sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the greatest teacher of the time of the Torah, of the law. Paul was a Hebrew, what they call a Hebrew of the Hebrews. When you hear him talk about this, I study it. He had high credentials. Paul spoke many languages. He was circumcised the eighth day. He was a Pharisee. Paul had it going on when you talk about degrees. He had to forsake all of that once he was converted. They turned on him. As a matter of fact, they sought to kill Paul when he got converted. Okay, go back. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Now everybody ain't got that testimony. And do count them but dung. You know what dung is, right? Okay. That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Look, I love what he says right here. This is an outstanding verse of scripture. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So there's a testimony of a costly stone. It cost him everything. His standing in society. You understand, the first Christian martyr was Stephen. And as they stoned him, in the book of Acts, it says that they laid their feet at the, they laid their coats. You know, they had to take their coats off to stone him. As they took their coats off, they laid them at the feet of Saul, who was consenting to his death. This was Paul. So Paul had letters to go to Damascus and put people in prison. Paul was a high up, but when he got converted, he left it all. Suffered the loss of all, a costly stone. And there are some here, you may have not lost everything, but you have paid a great sacrifice. You've lost a lot for the sake of Christ. But guess what? God's going to see that you get it all back. Come on. Double for your trouble. He's going to give you a child called Ephraim, doubly fruitful. One called Manasseh, he maketh me to forget. Amen? So we have the costly stones, all right? Number three, we have what we call prepared stones. Prepared stones. These are the cut stones where the rough edges have been removed. They're designed by God to fit in well. They are cut in the quarry where the forced labor is. When they are fitted in the house, there's no struggle, there's no fight, there's no competition, there's no jealousy, there's no envy, there's no when is my turn. They fit well into the house. These are regal. They can be set side by side. They can get along with everybody. They can get along with anybody. They can work with anybody. You know, a lot of people can't work with other people. No, I just can't work with someone. I'm sorry. Sorry. No, they're not the prepared stone. But the prepared stones that were a type of the stone that built up the temple upon which the glory of God rested were called prepared stones. If you get me 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7, you might be that one of those prepared stones. Those stones that God, you fit in. I know there are people, there are a lot of you here, I could name many of you that from the time that you came, you were never troubled. On the other hand, I can point out some of y'all. You still trouble. God's still preparing you. Which is all right, because in a great house, you got all the stones. And our job, the fivefold, are to fit you. See, iron has to sharpen up iron. See, the thing about iron sharpening iron, understand this. Conflict is not evil. Where two people are, you're going to have conflict from time to time. I don't care how nice, I don't care how saved you are. Paul and Barnabas had conflict. Paul and Peter had conflict. Peter had conflict with the Lord. And these are the ones everything built on. Abraham and Lot, they had conflict. So there's going to be conflict. Conflict is not wrong. It's how you handle conflict. Conflict can be healthy. You see, when iron sharpens iron, you see sparks. I like to say it this way. Well, let me use Pastor and I. If we agree on everything, she ain't necessary. No, actually the way it goes, one of us ain't necessary. You're not going to agree on everything because you got different perspectives. And it doesn't mean your perspective is wrong. So iron can sharpen. A lot of things she says to me make me think twice. Three times. Change my mind. Why? Because if you have, and I'm not talking about opinion, I'm talking about experience. See, every stone adds something. Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036 or toll free at 1-877-TR-BANKS. Our service times are Sundays, 8:30 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us in our midweek service, Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. All services are live streamed.